Well, thank you guys so much. That is a tough task to follow up there. It's just me, not my whole family, and I don't have any more announcements for you. Thank you so much for being here, though, this morning, as they said. It's so good to see you all here. I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you enjoyed time with family, time away from work. Hope you enjoyed some time away from family, maybe for some of us as well. I hope it was a time that's refreshing, that you're looking at going into this new year, or refreshed, going into this new week, a new rhythm, ready to take it on. But there's one thing that comes to our minds as we get to the end of the year. It's almost an automatic thing where we start kind of doing an evaluation. We start taking an inventory of what this last year has been. We're at the last Sunday of the year. We're coming up at the very end of the year. And there's just something that makes us want to close the book on this last year. Wrap it up in a nice bow. If you follow social media at all, you see a few weeks ago the trend of the Spotify Wraps, where they take what you've listened to for the entire year and they bundle it in this package and they say, based on the content that you've listened to, this must be your favorite artist and this is the kind of thing you like and this is what you might like going forward. And they say, this is who you are. Mine is always skewed because I'm usually playing music for my kids or for the youth group. And so I look at that and I said, nice. Certainly hope that's not me, but so often it's not one of the things that I share to my social media because it is not an accurate representation of me. But that's a smaller picture of it. We have other ideas, other things that we think about. We think about the projects that we finished, the projects that maybe we didn't finish or we didn't start, because that's a never-ending list, right? Or as we go on, we think about the goals that we hit, the goals that we maybe missed. We want to tie things up neatly as we close out a year that might have been good, a year that might not have been so good. As we get deeper, we think about different things where I maybe wish I would have been in a different spot by now. I thought for sure at the beginning of the year I was going to be in a different place than I am today. I thought there was these habits that I was hoping to change this last year that I didn't end up changing. Maybe some prayers that haven't been answered the way I wanted them to, the way I was hoping that they would be. Maybe wounds that I'm still struggling to heal from. There's a lot that can go into this end of our year inventory, this evaluation that we're taking. And for me, what I want to remind you of this morning, the encouragement that I hope to give you this morning, is that as the calendar year is finished, your formation, your growth is not. It continues on as long as you're still alive and in this room, as long as you're still breathing. But so often what I'm tempted to do is look at, last year didn't go well for me. And so I want to put a big asterisk on 2025 and say, okay, that didn't count. January 1 is coming. It's a fresh start. It's a restart. We're starting back at zero, which can end up being a detriment to us. Because it's not a fresh start. It's not a zero. What we've been through has happened. It has helped shape us to who it is that we are today. So rather than looking at it as a zero starting point, let's take a moment and let's look at what does it look like if this is a continuation. If we're moving, instead of from one year to the next year, we're moving from a Wednesday to a Thursday, continuing on. It's easy for our reflection, if we're not careful, we look into our reflection, we start to see, it becomes like a almost like a verdict or a final evaluation. Reflection isn't bad. In fact, it's healthy. It's part of my regular rhythm. I have a daily reflection. I have weekly, monthly, annual reflection on the way things have been. And you know, sometimes it can be easy, though, if we look at that reflection as a verdict, that I can say, well, this day was trash. This day's over. That was a waste of a day, a waste of a year, whatever that might end up being. But while the year is ending, it's something where you are not. You are continuing on. So this morning, we're going to look at some snapshots of some writings of the Apostle Paul, kind of jump around a little bit, because I think the Apostle Paul has a great example of this. Because if there's anybody in life who could probably say that they have arrived, that they could look back and say, yep, I nailed 2025 and 2026 is gonna be even better, it would probably be the Apostle Paul. He has an incredible life story. If we were to look at an overview of it, he has this dramatic conversion to coming to Christ. And then he just is on fire for the Lord. He goes on and he's a missionary, he's a church planter, and he's an evangelist, and he is a theologian. He continues on his work. He's writing. He writes most of the New Testament of our Bible. He endured suffering for the Lord. He was put into prison. He was beaten. And yet through all of those things, he ends up writing this. It's in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. And he says, not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. And this should cause us to pause a little bit because he's not a new believer. He's not writing this out of some newfound revelation. He's not writing this from a place of confusion, of wrestling with trying to figure this out, but he's writing it from a place of experience as a person who has walked through this life, who has been on a trajectory of growth. I think most of us would probably agree, if we know much about Paul, would say that he's like as close as you could be to being a super Christian, if that exists. I don't know that a super Christian is a thing. If we compare each other, maybe it is. But he would be a person that could probably say that he's arrived, but he says, I'm still a work in progress. I'm not finished yet. So if Paul can say that, I think we can maybe adjust our own expectations as well on this Christian life. Because what Paul is saying is, I love Jesus. I'm following Jesus, and this is a work in progress. I'm on a continual line of growth. And that's a space of tension. And it's a tension that Paul doesn't end up resolving. In fact, he talks about it in verses 10 and 11. I don't have this one on the screen, but he talks about this tension of wanting to connect with Christ through suffering, through the persecution that he's going through the jail time that he's gone through, the suffering that Jesus went through while he was here on earth. He continues on and he talks about, I want to connect with Christ through his resurrection. At the end of my life, when I get to go and meet Christ in heaven, I want to connect and commune with him in that way. But yet here I am today in this life, not having arrived at these goals. In verse 13 and 14, he talks about how he's not holding on to the past, that he's letting the past go. He's forgetting the past because he's looking forward. He's pressing on towards his goal. And so he doesn't resolve this tension that's here, but he does address it. He does talk about it. He talks about living in the space in between where I am, in between where I want to be, in between my calling and in between my becoming like Christ, in between my salvation and in between my completion. An example of this that he talks about, he writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. He says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. That word groan, it's this weight, it's a heaviness of this not yet. We've all kind of experienced that. Most of us have experienced that probably this week within our families, especially if you have kids around Christmas and Christmas presents, this inward groan. I have to see by a show of hands, how many of you guys in this room are everyone opens presents at the same time people? Okay, we have a few. That means the rest of you are wrong. I'm just kidding. But those two people do marry each other oftentimes, and it becomes a point of contention. That is my experience. I am an open everything at once person. That was my family growing up. I've married into a one at a time family of a very large family. And so what happens at Christmas time is we usually have the youngest kids, and they start by opening a present. And then there's so many people and it's so long before it ever comes back around to them. And there's this groaning because they've experienced something good and they know that there's more to experience, more goodness to experience, but you're gonna have to wait 35 minutes before it gets all the way around so that we can get to our next gift. And there's this inward groaning, there's this outward groaning that my kids end up having, that everybody in the room ends up having through this process. And it's kind of like our process of growth in Christ as well. We know there's so much more good ahead of us, but man, I'm still stuck in this rut. I'm still stuck in this place. I'm struggling through this process of growth. I have this groaning, this weight. And it'd be nice if, like, at the point of salvation, like, boom, it's done, you're complete, you've arrived. But instead we have the Bible to guide us faithfully through this path, through this in-between that we're going through. And so we follow that path. We put our faith in this process through the tension. Paul describes the tension in a different way as well. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "Therefore we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day." This tension's pretty easy to see here, right? Outwardly, our bodies, they deteriorate over time. But inwardly, as we strive to become like Christ, as we strive to reflect his image in the world around us, we can be renewed day after day after day. I get this feeling on a level at my house. We just bought a new house and it's really great. We're super happy with it. There's not very much buyer's remorse or almost none. So we're super thankful for that experience. But the problem is there's just so many projects to do. As those of you that have owned houses understand and do own houses understand, there's an incredible amount of projects. And I'm the kind of person that I would rather look at my projects and just put my head down, get to work, knock out the projects, and then sit in the finished space, enjoy the space the way I want it to be, enjoy my family in that space, and look at my to-do list and just see a blank piece of paper. And that's not even close to the reality. The reality is one project at a time, my house is being renewed day by day by day through the projects. But it's also not even a linear process here either, because I wrote the projects down and I put them in a list and I prioritized this one needs to happen, then this, then this, then this. And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks ago, one of my kids locked themselves in a room that we don't have a key to. And if you were here Christmas Eve, you saw all my kids were here. So he's not still in that room. but all of a sudden, this linear process where doorknobs were way down on the list, now all of a sudden they're much higher and I'll probably be putting new ones in next week. This tension of this growth of while my house is being renewed day by day. It's not exactly in the order I was hoping for it to be, but it's also wasting away because we live in the house, right? We're wearing it out. We're breaking things. We're using the house because we're living in it. And so while it's being renewed day by day, it's also wasting away at the same time. That's the tension. Both of these things are true. This is what Paul is saying. If we're trying to strive for a faith like Paul's, one that God would call you and I to, it's a faith that doesn't pretend that one of those doesn't exist. Because it would be really easy to say, oh, everything is just wasting away. Everything is bad. What's the point? What's the purpose? Where's my hope? Or we could go and have this Pollyanna view of everything is being new. Why are you sad? What's going on? But this growth process is both. Being able to hold the tension of both of those at the same time. So maybe you find yourself here wrapping up a year, and maybe you find yourself not sure what to do with Jesus. Don't know if I'm walking away from him. I don't really know if I'm walking towards him. I don't know what my faith is gonna look like as I go into this next year. Maybe you find yourself and you're not where you hope to be. Disappointed in yourself, disappointed in experiences, disappointed in God. Maybe you're trying, you're groaning, you're working through this tension, but you're just getting tired. I wanna wrap up this first section here by sharing a verse from Philippians. It's an encouragement that Paul gave to the church at Philippi here. And he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God's the one who begins the work. He's the one who sustains it, the one who continues the work, and is the one who ultimately will complete the work. So for you and for myself, like being unfinished, it's not a failure. It's an evidence that God's still at work. If we're here, if we're alive in this world, there's still work to be done. There's still work that is going on. And so while God does begin it, while God does continue it, while God does complete the work, we have a role to do in it as well. We don't just stand idly by and wait for the supernatural magic to happen and ta-da, we're grown and everything is fine and dandy. And we're going to talk about our role in the second part here. After we come back, we're going to sing some songs. We're going to apply some writings from Paul and what that would look like as we end this year. I'm going to pray for us, and the band's going to come out and lead us in some songs. God, thank you so much for beginning a work in us. Thank you for choosing us to fulfill your purpose here on this earth. And God, I just pray as we finish up this year, that you help us to finish up looking forward, pressing forward just in the same way that Paul did, pressing towards becoming more like you, being ambassadors, reflecting your glory. God, I pray that you give us courage. Courage to do the hard things. Courage to take the steps to heal in places that we need to heal. Courage to take a stand of boldness when we need to take a stand of boldness. Courage to be vulnerable in areas that we need you to step into in our lives to help pull us out, to help us to not stay stuck. God, thank you for giving us another year. Thank you for what you're going to do in this next year. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, band, for that. So we live in this tension between where we want to be and where we are, a tension between ending a year, starting a fresh year. And I think Paul gives us a way through some of his writings here on how we can end well, end in a way that is without shame, without pretending, a way that we can carry on without fully relying on ourselves, but not just a way on how to end, but how we can continue to groan and grow faithfully through the trajectory of growth that we are on. So I thought about, as we're ending the year, doing an acronym. It's the word END. Should stick in our minds for a few minutes, right? It kind of all is a theme. And the END is extend grace, name what's not finished, and depend on Jesus. I want to start with extend grace. That's extending grace to yourself. I don't know about you, but I know that quite a few of us probably don't speak to ourselves real positively. If you spoke to your friends the way that you speak to yourself, you'd probably need new friends by February or so, something along those lines. And Paul, he doesn't beat himself up in this process, the part that he writes down and shows to us. We see in a couple different areas. In the verse that we kicked off with in Philippians 3:12, he says, not that I've already obtained all of this. It's just a matter-of-fact statement, not beating himself up, not getting stuck in the rut, but he says, I'm not there yet. I'm still in process. I'm still in progress. And in 1 Timothy, he talks about that Christ came to this earth to save sinners, of which I am the worst. Now, that would sound like pretty negative self-talk, but when you look at the context, he's putting it into a perspective, saying, hey, if God's grace, if God's forgiveness, if God's patience is enough for me, it's certainly going to be enough for you as well. He's not beating himself up about it, but he's humbly acknowledging the facts. I'm not where I want to be. I'm on a path. I'm pressing forward in a direction of growth, in a direction of becoming more like Jesus. He gave himself enough grace to keep going, to keep on pressing on. So don't add what I'm not saying here. I'm not saying that, like, just give yourself a ton of grace, like forget about it, all positive self-talk, I want you to have an accurate view of yourself. Because it'd be super easy for us to give ourselves enough grace to excuse our habits and our attitudes and our actions and to stay stuck in such a place where we're not moving forward and becoming more like Jesus in our lives. And so that's not what I'm saying. Don't slap an oopsie, we'll do better next time on it. Or okay, well, I'm just grace, right? I can keep on going the way I'm going. But enough grace that allows you to not stay paralyzed, to not stay stuck in the spot that you're in, but something that allows you to be able to get back up, dust off your knees, and keep on pressing on. So extend grace to yourself. The N of our acronym is name what's not finished. talking about what's unresolved in your life. Where are those things? Paul talks about several different things in Romans chapter 7. He talks about how he does the things that he doesn't want to do, and he doesn't do the things that he does want to do. Throughout 2 Corinthians, he talks about being tired of the suffering for the gospel, of being in jail, of ready to be done. Just really explicitly puts it out there. Says that I'm going to keep going, but this is a lot. This is hard. He talks about his thorn in the flesh, that it's not helping him in the mission, but he's going to continue on because it's in his weakness that God's strength becomes known. So he names it. He doesn't minimize it. He doesn't gloss it over. But he brings God into it. He invites God into it. He brings it to God. And he says, here it is. This is what's unresolved. This is where I need you. I think Paul got something that like a lot of counselors, a lot of therapists get pretty well, in that you can't surrender, you can't heal from something that you refuse to name. It's the starting process. It's hard, but it's where we have to start. This first quarter of the year for Capital City Church, we're looking at what does it look like for us as a church to grow? Let's not stay stagnant. Let's not stay where it is. What does it look like for you individually and us collectively as a church to grow through disciplines, through intentionality? We're going to continue to go through that, but it requires us to first name where it is that we need to grow, to have an accurate view of ourselves. Once it's named, then we can build a plan of accountability, plan of discipline, plan of practice, and then we repeat a plan of accountability and discipline, and we repeat. Like, you get the idea. But that is how we continue this process of growing. And so for some of us, it's that unfinished work might be a habit that you've hoped would change. You've thought about it, but you've been a little bit scared to do the work of actually naming it out loud, saying it, taking the hard steps to start to heal from that. Maybe it's a discipline you need to start. Maybe it's a wound that it's time for you to start digging in on how to heal from. I don't know what that might look like. Maybe it's a prayer that's been unanswered. Whatever that unresolved thing is, whatever that thing that's not finished in your life is, let's name it. An example of this in my life would look like usually around this time of the year, I would say, I'm gonna eat better next year. And then Chick-fil-A would say, don't make promises you can't keep. And like, and naming it is good. It's a really good start. And I've gotta stop driving by Chick-fil-A. I've gotta get the app off of my phone. Those follow-through steps are also important. And that's what we're gonna be talking about as we go into this next year. On Sundays, we're gonna be talking about intentionality. We're gonna be talking about discipline. I cannot encourage you enough to be a part of the Wednesday study that we're doing, because we're gonna be naming where it is that God began that work in us, how he's continued the work. Just like Philippians 1 was saying, he began a work and he's going to continue it to completion, where he's continued that work in our lives and what it's gonna look like for him to continue that work within our lives. So naming it, it's hard. It's a vulnerable step, but it's not a shameful step. Because you're not telling God something that he doesn't already know. You're not telling him something that he's afraid to step in and offer you healing and offer you help in. So name it. Tell it to him. Tell it to people that you trust, people that want the best in you. Acknowledge that you're in this tension space of where I am, where I want to be, and I'm ready to grow. The last one we have is the letter D, depend on Jesus. Our primary verse in this passage, or in this sermon here, Philippians 3:12, at the end of it, it says, I press on to take hold of what, or of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This sentence is a powerful one because it's not Paul saying that I grabbed on to Jesus and then I figured it out. All right, I grabbed on to Jesus and now I'm strong enough to get through this and I know how I'm gonna do this. He says that, nope, Jesus grabbed a hold of me first. And from that, from there is where everything that Paul did in his life flowed. Jesus offered him a restored life. Jesus offered him hope. Jesus offered him purpose. Jesus offered him a whole entire new way to live. And he says, I'm on board, let's go. And it's from there that his discipline came. See, his dependence came before his discipline. Discipline is absolutely necessary. But what's driving our discipline? What's driving the intentionality, the steps that we're taking? Paul, it would have been easy for him to have all of this effort, but effort was a response. Effort wasn't the starting point. If we weren't careful in how we read a lot of his writings, we would say, man, Paul is just, he's full of tenacity. He's got this. He's gonna push through it no matter what the world brings for him. But when we look at the context, when we look at what's going on, we see that he begins with value. He begins with the dependence of his relationship with Christ. Before the pressing on part, he tells us why Jesus is worth pressing on. It's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. He says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." When discipline is rooted in that dependence, it becomes formation in our lives. It becomes transformation. It becomes growth in your life and in my life. Paul's saying here, it's my relationship with Jesus that everything else flows from. Because without that, it's all garbage. Before that, it was all garbage. I might have thought I was going in the right direction. I thought I was doing things the right way. But everything gets flipped on its head when a relationship with Jesus comes first. His righteousness, it didn't come from his knowledge, didn't come from his discipline, it didn't come from the laws and the rules that he followed, but it came from his relationship that was dependent on Christ. So here we are, the end of 2025. And Paul's encouraging us, he's giving us permission to stop pretending, right? To follow this path of Jesus. Not one that we have arrived at, but one where we're still being formed. Next week, we're gonna rip down the old calendar. We're gonna put up a new calendar, flip the page, whatever it looks like for you in your house. But also remember that we're going from December 31st to January 1st. We're going from a Wednesday to a Thursday. We're going from a day of growth to another day of growth, becoming more like Christ. As we consider the tension that it is that we're walking through, as we extend grace to ourselves through this path, we can name what's finished. We can name it honestly because we're looking forward to a year of growing where we're depending on Jesus. So while the year is ending, remember that God has begun a good work in you. He's gonna continue that good work in you this week, next week, and next year. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for bringing us into this church here together on a rainy day, an icy day, whatever it's going to be out there. God, I pray that you just give us a moment to be able to center our focus on you. Forget what the past has been, but like Paul, press on towards the goal of becoming more like you, the goal of shining the light of you in our homes, in our relationships, in our jobs, everywhere it is that you have us to go, God. I just pray that you are what's seen. I pray that your glory is what is known through us, not glory to us. Not glory to our accomplishments, but glory to you. So God, give us a great start to this next year. I pray that each person in this room is refreshed, recharged, ready to take on this next year, the next day even. Give them a special grace as they lean in to do the hard work that you've called us to do. It's in your name we pray, amen.